Hey, it's Chaz and AJ in the morning.
Hey, what's going on?
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Here are some of the best parts from today's show.
Listen to it, please. Thank you.
And please subscribe, share, like, comment, all that stuff.
All of it, please.
Thank you. An additional 63 Connecticut residents have tested positive, bringing the state total of coronavirus cases to 159. Mm. This includes the first cases to be reported out of Talon and Windham counties. I see Stratford has its second case now. The governor signed a new executive order yesterday. It postpones Connecticut's presidential primary from April 28th to June 2nd. Suspends non-critical court operations. Permits certain restaurants and other eating establishments to sell alcohol.
See, we need that.
With takeout food orders.
That's important right there.
Directs the temporary closures of barbershops, hair salons, tattoo, piercing, and related businesses effective 8 o'clock tonight. So you're going to get your hair cut.
Right. Get your nails done. Get your tattoo on.
Quickly. You got until 8 o'clock tonight.
Hurry up. Chomp, chomp.
State's going to start giving out expired masks. Which
really?
To me is fine. Like if you look at canned goods, right?
Yeah.
I have some canned goods that are dated 2017. They expired 2017. So we were going through the cupboard and we're doing our list of supplies, right? And Jennifer wanted to throw them out. And I said, no, let's put them off to the side.
Right.
And if we're ever in a situation where we need to eat them, trust me, you're going to be glad that we didn't throw them out.
It'll taste like steak, yes.
So then the other day we have this survivalist guy on and I said, 2017 canned goods, what do you think? It's like, they're fine.
Yep.
You might lose some of the nutrition value.
But it's still edible.
Still edible.
Vacuum sealed.
Right. So these masks are fine. They put these dates on for whatever reason.
Because they have to.
Be a little extra safe. So state's going to start giving out expired masks.
All right.
In addition to the state laboratory, there are now 15 alternative sites in Connecticut that are offering drive-through testing.
Huh.
And a state rep has tested positive for coronavirus.
Well, look at that. Does he die?
It's Jane Garibay, Windsor and Windsor Locks.
Hmm.
So we wish her well.
She's ripping.
City of Meriden had its first resident confirmed as having COVID-19. Four Hartford police officers tested positive for COVID-19, and the city will impose a limit on any gathering of more than 10 people.
Huh.
Another man from New Canaan in his 80s also died. This brings the number of deaths to 3 in Connecticut. 4 cases in New Haven. The city announced efforts to protect the homeless population. We'll have the mayor of New Haven on in an hour. And the Red Cross is asking healthy people to donate blood.
Oh, there you go.
Blood is important.
Very important.
And
kind of need it.
There's a big shortage now, I'll tell you that, because nobody wants to go to a hospital unless they have to.
Yep.
Nobody wants a needle stuck in it. You know, everyone's kind of,
yeah,
I think I'll pass on that.
Yeah, you kind of queasy about
you
it.
You don't have to donate blood, but the people who need it, they need it.
Exactly. Right? So it's the right thing.
If you're looking to do something nice, there's something nice you could do.
See that?
All right, let's talk to Mary Ann Jacob from Sandy Hook. She's quarantined at her home after returning from Italy. How are you holding up?
I'm okay so far.
Good.
I have a new stock of Oreos, so I think I'll survive.
Nice.
Excellent. Who's helping you stock up?
Well, we've actually used Peapod a couple of times, and we just made an order with Instacart to get some deliveries from Stu Leonard's for things that Peapod didn't have. But,
so now when Peapod arrives, do they just leave it at your door? You can't ask them to come in when you're quarantined, right?
Yeah. So when he pulled up in the driveway yesterday, for example, I just opened the front door. I said, can you just leave it? We have like a stone wall out on the edge of the property. I said, can you just leave it all on the stone wall and I'll come get it after you leave.
And oh, nice.
Right. Yeah, leave the food by the stone wall and we'll come get it. Step away from the stone wall. It's almost like hostage things. Okay, you got the food? All right, good. Now leave it by the wall. I want you to put your hands up and step away in a slow fashion.
John?
My wife, we ordered Uber Eats the other day, and as soon as the guy arrived, my wife and I both walked outside. My wife had gloves, and then right at the corner, she yells at him, you could just put it down on right there. The guy looked at us. He goes, really?
Right there, in the yard, right there.
I'm
watching you. You want to see your hands? Right. Where are the Oreos?
Hand sanitizer.
Show me the hand sanitizer. Show me the Oreos.
Said to walk to the end of the block and pick up a thing of chicken wings after the guy got in his car and left.
Show me the wings.
Well, and, I think right now that, you know, we've been quarantined for 12 or 13 days. So I actually feel safer than most people.
Right.
Yeah.
I haven't been out and about, so I'm just being very careful when I bring stuff like that inside. Like, after I unpack it, I'm washing my hands, I'm washing up the counter where all the bags were.
Take a shower.
I cleaned up afterwards because, you know, at this point, we're probably in a better shape than a lot of people are who have been
absolutely
out in the community.
And you have Oreos.
Absolutely.
See?
And I have Oreos.
You went to Italy with a ski club?
Yeah, so we belong to a ski club that has, you know, we have about 30 people from the, actually from multiple states, but mostly from this region. And we left on February 28th. And of course,
trying to think where the news cycle was February 28th.
So on February 28th, Italy had declared what they call like a number 2 travel warning, which it basically means exercise increased caution.
Don't go in areas. All right, so now the group starts talking. Do we do it? Do we not do it? Right. Where were you in that conversation?
Well, so the group had pretty much decided that barring being forbidden to travel, they were going to continue because unless you, at that point, you wouldn't have gotten any of your money back, whether you had insurance or not.
Right.
So, you know, the group had decided, the club had decided to leave it up to the individuals about whether they want to travel. And my husband and I had talked about it and he was like, well, we'll go no matter what. Of course.
Yeah.
I was like, well, I'm drawing a line in the sand. I think when the warning goes to 3, which is reconsider travel to the area.
Which is exactly what you should do, right?
Yeah.
Reconsider.
Do we at least have a nice time?
We had a great time. It was beautiful. We were way up north outside of what was at that time a warning area, about 6 hours north of the nearest case. So, you know, even we had to travel into Milan, which was within Lombardy, which was part of the warning. But even in Milan was about 4 hours at that point from the nearest case. So
you're feeling like you're away from it.
Right. Keep moving.
Yeah. It's like it's not that bad.
All right. We're good.
Towards the end of the trip, what was it like? And were you afraid that you might get stuck there?
So towards the end of the trip, we started getting news from here about how people were feeling. And by the way, when we got on the plane on the 28th, the warning increased to a level 3.
On the plane.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
No. Thank you.
We're in now.
We left in time.
Yeah.
Number 3.
So we were, you know, so we sort of put it aside for the beginning of the trip. We skied every day. It was great. And about 4 days in, we were supposed to extend the trip 3 days and go to Milan, which was right in the heart of where things were happening. So my husband and I said, we're not going to go to Milan. We're going to go home on Saturday. And the whole group ended up deciding to do that. So our travel agent, who we've been in touch with very closely the whole time, rearranged for us all to get home on Saturday, but we had to go into Milan again. So that was a little worrisome.
Yeah.
So by then, people here had caught wind of the fact that the local ski club was there. And, you know, the local Facebook page started heating up with, you know, what were those people thinking? And
so really, folks on Facebook are really nasty? The hell you say? Social media became nasty? Oh, my God. When did this start happening? It's impossible.
Yep.
I was really kind of shocked, you know, for a local community that has been through some pretty serious stuff.
Seriously, right?
I would have expected people to be worried, but I also would have expected them to be kind.
A little more compassion,
I agree.
Wow, I hope you guys don't get stuck. And by the way, when you come home, you know, you need to be really careful. Don't come home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that started sort of getting our angst up. I talked to the local health director, Donna Culbert. She caught wind of it. She and I happen to know each other because of town work I've done in the past. She called me. We talked about what was going on. She said, hey, when you arrive in New York on Saturday the 28th, on Saturday, March 7th, expect some screening of some sort. And you're going to get some information saying you have to self-quarantine. So we prepared everybody for that. And we took the bus down into Milan. We all had masks and gloves on. We were very careful not to go anywhere. We get to the airport. We sit around the airport for like 3 hours. It's kind of quiet, but still people are there.
But I always think that's where I'm going to get the germ, you know?
Right.
When you touch something at an airport, you're like, people all over the world have touched this. This is the grossest place.
It's really cultured.
Like, I don't know. I'd rather lick a toilet than touch something in the airport, but go ahead.
Yeah. So we all had gloves and masks on. We were being pretty self-aware. And as we walked down the gang, you know, the gangplank, the jetway to get onto the airport, there were four or five health administration people there in Milan taking our temperature.
Oh.
Which, of course, the moment of, am I going to pass or not? We were all healthy. But it was sort of ironic because we'd been in the airport, meanwhile, for 3 or 4 hours, you know, potentially infecting everybody in the place. But the plane was practically empty. It was one of those huge double-decker planes.
Oh,
it was
man.
Our group plus a handful of other people.
That's creepy.
It came into New York. Yeah, you know, you're worrying, like, am I going to get home? Are they going to send me to, like, a military airbase? We get into New York, sail through in New York. Nobody says a word.
Not a word. Not a word.
Come
not
on
a word.
In.
Not a word. Yeah, come on. Come on in. Come on.
So they must have had the protocol of test them before they get on the plane because we don't want them in this country.
Exactly right.
So once you're on the plane,
you're good to go.
It's like a security check. They check you for weapons and whatever before you get on the plane. Once you're on the plane, you can walk right off. And
exactly right.
Yeah.
But even when we walked through customs, not a where have you been? Have you been near any sick people? And we were told to expect that. So when I told the health director that, she was like, are you kidding me? So I think it was at the point when they didn't really have their act together in terms of what policies were supposed to be in place. So,
right.
I had actually had the foresight to order a Peapod order while I was still in Italy.
Smart.
And it was delivered. I had a dog sitter here with my two dogs, and it was delivered the day before we got home. So we had food and we've hunkered down.
Toilet
and we're
paper.
Working and toilet paper.
See? Do you know that's the thing now? I know you've been locked in your house for a while, but you can't get toilet paper anymore.
It's a commodity now. If you have it, you're truly rich.
He needs to bring you by some toilet paper.
Right.
Yes, it is crazy I'm not sure what that is about, but somebody had posted something about, like, how many times a day you go and how many squares you use so you can, like, figure out how long your toilet paper will last.
I feel like
I'm pretty good.
Half a roll, one shot.
If S hits the fan, I know, because I'm angry at these people for hoarding toilet paper.
Yeah, I'm mad at you people.
But I do know if everything hits the fan and I, at some point, am going from a deserted house to deserted house to try to find supplies, I'm going to find dead skeletal remains of people who died of starvation near piles of toilet paper.
Holding on to them.
So I'll get
them.
All that toilet paper back. It'll
exactly right.
Yeah, it is crazy. It's very crazy.
And then you're getting close to the end where you can come out.
Do you want to, though?
Well, yeah,
right. So relief and, like, right. You don't want to, right?
Yeah. My husband and I feel differently about that. He's like, well, I can't wait to get out of the house. And I'm sort of like, well, I'm actually pretty happy right now.
Wait, a husband wants to get away from his wife.
Oh, when that's what happening.
surprise,
that would happen after a weekend.
Yeah, that's impossible. That's up to 2 hours.
You're like, let's cuddle and watch some more Lifetime movies.
I'm good. Yeah. I'm going to do yard work. Work in the yard right now for a while.
Wow. Yeah. When will you take your first step out?
Well, I mean, I've been out in the yard. I actually ran around in circles in my front yard with my two golden retrievers yesterday.
That's so you're looking at you going, woo!
Good.
Woo,
good.
Woo. That was you, huh? Okay.
Good.
So I think I'll feel more comfortable, like, taking them for a walk in the neighborhood. I live in a quiet area, so there's not a lot of people around.
Right.
You know, and, you know, things like that are a little more out there, but not, you know.
When do you go out in public?
Very mindful.
At night.
I'm going to be very mindful of not going out in public, I think.
Yeah.
Just, you know.
Good.
It seems like the thing to do right now.
Yeah, after this, the last thing you want is to get a temperature and then go back in.
I wonder how many folks become recluse after this.
Yeah.
They spend so much time indoors.
So, you know, I have a 21-year-old who's in college locally who wasn't able to come home when we returned because he would have been, you know, and at that time he was still in school and, you know, things were slightly different 2 weeks ago. So he's staying with my other son in Stanford. So I think he'll probably come home.
Right.
And, you know, things are getting more locked down for everybody. So he's figuring out a way to do his schoolwork from home and all the rest of that. And, you know, it's sort of the new reality for now.
It's the new reality. Yes. Well, Marianne, thanks for coming on, sharing your story. And good luck. If you need anything in the last couple of days of your confinement, please let us know. We'll bring it over for you.
Thanks, guys. Have a good day.
All right. You too. Let's talk to Nora. She's state director of AARP in Connecticut. How do we take care of our elderly loved ones without giving them the coronavirus?
Well, that is an excellent question, and thanks for having me on. You know, the honest truth is you just follow all of the procedures that we've been hearing about, right? Which is, you know, keep a safe distance, wash your hands. But the most important thing, I think, is to make sure that we're staying in touch, even if it's not necessarily the same way we were before the coronavirus.
Right. So they're saying social distancing, but you can electronically reach out. You don't have to be completely
distant. You FaceTime, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, social distancing doesn't have to mean social isolation. Social isolation is a public health crisis in and of itself. So we need to be able to help strike a nice balance. And, you know, that's up to us individually. It's up to us as just residents of neighborhoods who have neighbors who may be elderly or even just, you know, have a compromised immune system. We're checking in on each other. We're doing the same thing now that we would do in, for instance, you know, remember when we didn't have power for 2 weeks?
Right.
You know, it's I think to your point with the everybody calm down.
Yeah.
It said take a deep breath.
Yeah.
First, be safe. And then second, be forward thinking about what that means. You know, and if we're going to be in this situation for, you know, several more weeks, how do we do this in a way that makes sense to everybody?
And here's the problem. It's
have a family
the quiet
fight.
Before the storm now, and I think people are getting bored. Like, you know, we've been hearing about this for weeks. It doesn't seem that bad.
Right.
Now I could go out and do stuff.
I'm going to venture out.
Yeah.
I said to my neighbors the other day, I said, you know, it feels right now, I feel like everyone's acting like we're on a snow day.
Yep.
And this isn't a snow day.
No.
Right. It's way serious.
No.
All right, so you guys,
how do we handle this?
You guys, AARP will host weekly live coronavirus information teletown hall deals on Thursdays at 1.
Yes.
All right.
That is true.
We're
going
to link that up at WPR.com, 959thefox.com. And if you have a parent or an elderly loved one, grandparent, they're sitting home, you might just say, hey, Grams, you might want to dial into this thing.
Exactly.
Yeah, it'll be fun to watch.
Yeah. Something to do, too.
You can dial in. You can stream it online. You can watch them later online at aarp.org/coronavirus. And while we do represent people age 50 and up, a huge part of what we do is think about what family caregivers need. So whether if your mom is sitting in another state or across town or, you know, wherever, and she's vulnerable, or she's in a nursing home, we can talk about that. You know, what is your role?
Right.
How do you cope with this? You know, we've got not just the health and safety, but we've got some of the anxiety reducing tips. We've got the most current information about how to prevent frauds. I mean, you know, scammers read the headlines too.
Oh, hell yeah.
You know, they're not just toilet paper hoarders.
No. Hand sanitizer too.
Yeah.
Hand sanitizers, but they're finding ways to help people, you know, find cures that don't exist.
Yeah.
But put your money here and we'll get that for you.
All
so
right.
We want people to stay safe from losing their money as well.
We're going to link up at WPR.com, 959thefox.com. Thank you, Nora.
Thank you, guys. Keep it up.
All right. You too. Great information.
Yes.
I didn't even think about some of that stuff.
See that?
Nora Duncan, State Director, AARP Connecticut. Dahlia is a... what is it? A sonographer?
Hi, good morning.
Hi.
So, I a sonographer.
Sonographer.
See, they got the semantics.
Yeah.
Got you.
I knew I was going to get there.
Sonographer.
You work for a hospital in New York. You're a friend of Ashley's. And,
yes, exactly.
You were recently fitted with a respirator or an N95 mask?
Yeah. So I do ultrasounds for pregnant women.
Oh.
So sonogram or ultrasound is the same thing. As just a precaution, you know, the people who actually get to wear those N95 masks are the people who are in direct contact with diagnosed COVID patients. But, you know, everybody has to get fitted for one because they have to fit your face really, really tight just to make sure, like, no air is getting through.
Right.
Is it tailored for that or what?
I saw some pictures of this. So you were standing in line, it's just a weird experience, right? It's like right from a disaster movie.
Yeah, it was really bizarre. So it was, I don't know, might have been like 50, 60 people. But everybody was trying to stand like 6 feet apart from each other. So it was just this really long spread. spread out line that felt like it wasn't moving at all because everybody's so far apart. And yeah, we waited for like close to 2 hours just online.
Wow.
And then when you get to the front, you see what's actually going on in this test, which is they take groups of like 6 or 7 people and they put this plastic hood over your head. And it's like clear in the front where your face is, but the rest is white. And there's a little hole by your mouth and they pump this bitter chemical solution into the hood. And, you know, they give you a mask to put on. And the idea is that you don't want to be able to taste the bitter solution. And
they did
one at first. Yeah. And then they do one that they say is like 10 times stronger. So I could actually, I could feel like my eyes burning from the solution.
They put skunk in there.
Wow.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly. You should not be able to taste that.
You know, you don't even think of all this stuff is still going on.
It's true.
We still have pregnant women.
Yeah.
We still have people who need medical care.
Right.
We still have cancer patients.
Yep,
all this has to continue on.
Has to.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, we've done as much as we can to make it only essential scans. But, I mean, most scans are essential. And a lot of these are high-risk women who need, who are coming twice a week or, you know, things like that. And, you know, we've cut it also to no guests, which helps. Just to have like as few people in the, even in the waiting rooms as possible.
So you got your mask.
And, yeah.
How long was that whole experience?
So the test is about 7 minutes. They have you breathe through your nose first, then your mouth. They have you turning your head side to side. They have you march in place. It's just like this
march
weird,
in place.
That's
seems
interesting, right? Did they play music?
I think.
What was that about? Just to see if the mask was going to move?
Yeah, I think they want to make sure you can walk in it, and they also give you something to read that takes, it's like, it was kind of long.
No,
I don't know, I think it was like a poem.
Hey, thanks.
They want to make sure, right. It was just like very claustrophobic, because it's obviously supposed to be tight to your face, but it was getting really difficult. Like, I feel for the people who have to wear that mask all day. I mean, it's very difficult.
You're going to have to.
Right. She's writing something. I can't breathe.
Yeah, that's not a place like where you want to joke and fake like you can't breathe. Like,
and
well, thank you for what you're doing. Really, it's you know, you're front lines now. So
yeah.
And by the way, you, Dahlia, will be third wave. Right?
Yeah, third
so
wave.
So we're talking about waves of people in an apocalypse, right?
Surviving, yes.
So first wave is people like Ashley.
Yeah.
She would be gone in like the first wave.
Opening credits?
Yeah.
She's definitely not first wave.
No,
you're opening credits.
Your first,
hey, Ashley.
Your first episode, 5 minutes in, you're gone. But she licked her cell phone like 2 weeks ago.
We didn't ask her to. Also, she's doing it.
It was a science experiment. I did it for everybody.
What do you think of that, Dolly?
I mean, Ashley, I hate to agree with them, but...
You need a body mask. You need a body mask. You need a tongue mask.
Dahlia, thanks for coming on. Thanks for what you're doing. Thanks to all the healthcare workers.
Right.
159 confirmed coronavirus cases in Connecticut. Yesterday, we had our third death. The presidential primary has been moved from April to June. And the governor has ordered a temporary closure of barbershops, salons, tattoo piercing places. That starts today at 8 p.m. New Haven Mayor Justin Elicker is on the show now. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Good, thanks. Thanks for making time for us here. We know you're very
busy.
What's the latest?
The latest is yesterday I and Hartford Mayor, Bridgeport Mayor, and Hampton Mayors signed an order that prevents gatherings of 10 or more. It's primarily focused on social and community type of gatherings, so it doesn't limit things like homeless shelters or health centers, things like that. And we're just trying to do everything we can to continue to reduce the number of people that are gathering together and make sure that we're promoting social distancing.
Have you had any issues with that, with groups of over 10?
Yeah, people are starting to really get it. But we've still had a number of instances where people are gathering together. And part of this is really is on the enforcement side. And a lot of this is on the messaging side, because the more we can do to highlight in the media just how important it is for people to stay away from each other, the more we can slow the spread of the virus.
What is the fine for that if you're caught in a group of 12 people?
You know, we are not arresting people or fining people.
Right.
We've told our officers, just go up to people and let them know that this is the new rule. This is not designed as some sort of police state where we also don't want a lot of people. We don't want to arrest a lot of people. And we've reduced the levels of what it would trigger an arrest, because we don't want people in our lockup facility.
Right.
Because we don't want too tight quarters in there either.
Right. Yep. Now, you mentioned that 10 or less deal, that order, excludes homeless shelters. Are you worried about a spread there?
Yeah, we've actually spent a lot of time and effort on this issue. And there's two parts to this. One is, we don't want a lot of people congregating together closely in the homeless shelters. And so we've actually rented hotel rooms, and we will be moving some of the homeless population that is in the shelters into hotel rooms, so that the ones that are remaining in the shelters have enough space to conduct social distancing.
Oh, wow.
And the second side of this is that if someone gets tested positive for COVID-19 and is homeless, they can't self-isolate because they have no place to go. And we don't want them going to the shelter or just wandering around the city because they could infect other folks. And so we want to make sure that those people have a place to go. And so we've actually, we're using a high school, and we're preparing that now, a gymnasium, as a place for a isolation shelter, where individuals that don't have a home can go, and they will stay there. They will have to stay there while they recover for COVID-19.
What do you guys need? Food donations, blood donations? What do the people in New Haven need?
Well, so the main thing that a lot of the country needs right now is the N95 masks.
Right.
And, you know, there's a number of things that I'm concerned about, but the big one is our first responders, because what we've seen in other countries is that if the virus spreads too quickly, then all of a sudden there are so many people that get it. And we want to make sure that our first responders are as safe as possible, because if we lose a lot of our first responders because they need to self-isolate, we become Italy.
Yale,
so our medical supplies are critical.
Has Yale Hospital asked you for any assistance?
We've been in daily communication with the hospital. We're working very closely with them. We would not be successful if we didn't work hand in hand.
And buses, city buses, people have to, I'm guessing, separate on the buses, right? Is there any protocol for that?
Yeah, so this is a state issue. And generally, I've seen a lot of empty buses. I think the reason for that is because a lot of businesses have closed down.
Right.
But and the buses, my understanding is the buses are being cleaned more. I think that they should be much more proactive at announcing on the bus when people get on that they should distance themselves from each other inside the bus. Metro North is the same thing. I'm not aware of Metro North doing that, but honestly, I don't know. What's most important is all of us that have a loudspeaker in any form keep telling people, look, just be careful, wash your hands.
Right.
Anytime you touch anything, wash your hands, keep away from each other.
You know, we're getting to that point now where Americans don't have a large attention span. I include myself in that.
Right.
Where, you know, you hunker down for a couple of days, maybe a week, and you start doing things the right way. And all of a sudden it's like, seems okay.
Right. We're good.
Yeah. So we got to keep messaging.
What were we just talking about?
Exactly. See, it's everybody.
Mayor, thanks for coming on and spreading the word. We appreciate it, and we know you're a busy guy. So we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
All right, take care.
You too.
Right, New Haven Mayor Justin Elliker. Oh, imagine being a mayor for like a month.
Trial by fire, man, but he's doing awesome so far. So, yeah. He's kicking ass.
Hey, a mayor.
Yeah.
And then that goes from, Hey, I'm mayor.
Oh, what the hell?
Oh, brother.
WTF, what's going on here?
Yeah, nice. Doing a good job.
Yes.
Ashley's mom is on. Mama G.
Good morning, boys. Good morning, Taz. Good morning, AJ. Show! How are you?
So, Mama G is a, she's a third waiver, right? Because she's smart and she's all doctory and professor type.
Yes, almost like supervillain, yes.
Yeah.
Clearly, the apple did fall far from the tree with my daughter who's licking her cell phone, however.
Exactly.
Okay, so you noticed that, didn't you? Honey,
I was going to bring that up.
At the tail, we don't lick the phone, honey.
The apple's
the
still rolling downhill as far as I know.
that seed didn't develop.
It's getting further and further from the tree.
Look at that. Mom's kicking ass.
Tell us how do you make a vaccine for something like this?
So this is an unusual situation, and when there is an epidemic outbreak like there is with this COVID-19 virus, the development of a vaccine changes significantly because of the need to have one as rapidly as you possibly can. That doesn't mean that there's going to be one tomorrow or next week or next month. It's still going to take time because the safety, the potency, the efficacy of the vaccine of something that's being injected into human beings has to be treated with the highest level of caution that is possible. So what they're using right now to develop this vaccine is different, and it's called a vaccine rapid response platform. And to just break it down as basically and simplistically as I can,
yeah,
for
act
you,
like you're talking to us,
right? Exactly,
right.
One of you.
Act like I'm talking to Ashley. Oh, okay,
yes, all of us.
No, she licks her phone.
So every one of us has an instruction sheet in our body that's called genetic material, and that determines what kind of color our eyes are, what color our hair is, our height, our sex, etc. And ours is called DNA. Now, the virus that we're talking about right now has a different kind of instruction sheet or genetic information, and that's called RNA. We happen to be in a very good position right now, the scientists at Moderna, at NIH, and the other places that are working on vaccines, because the Chinese government sequenced the genetic material of the coronavirus, the RNA. They deciphered the code for us and they made it public. So the scientists don't have to take that step here. So we're already one step ahead of the game. So what they're doing to make a vaccine or to try and make a vaccine for this virus is they take a small piece of the viral instruction sheet, that genetic material. They don't inject the entire virus or attenuated form, a weakened form of the virus. They just inject a small piece of the instruction sheet. And the viral genetic material, the viral instruction sheet, becomes inserted into our body cells. And then our body cells, in turn, produce virus-like proteins, which are specific for the coronavirus, and our immune system will then mount a response and make antibodies to the virus material to try and remove it from the body so it doesn't result in a disease.
So you're growing the vaccine so you can kill the vaccine. You're growing the virus to kill the virus and make a vaccine.
So this is different. They're not growing the virus for this type of vaccine. You're 100% right, Chaz. That's what they typically do in a normal vaccine. They don't have to grow the virus under these circumstances, which can take in cell culture anyway from 2 to 30 to 60 days. They've cut all of that out because the Chinese government did decipher the code.
So because you've got the code, you don't have to grow it.
Right. And all these
exactly.
Terms on Ashley's phone, by the way, just know.
Right.
So they just take that small piece, which is a foreign molecule to you, and anything that comes into your body that's foreign, a healthy immune system will mount a response. Now, keep in mind, foreign is bacteria, foreign is viruses, foreign is a transplanted tissue or organ as well. So anything that your body doesn't recognize internal fingerprints of and says, oh, this doesn't belong to me, it will mount a response against that
amazing.
To destroy and remove it. Yeah. It's, and so, you know, the key thing here is keep your immune systems as healthy as possible. Lots of sleep, lots of rest, vitamin C. You know, there are people that are predisposed because of pre-existing health conditions. You got to just try and do the best you can. People need to take this seriously, including people in my house. And really,
well, luckily, Ashley doesn't live in your house because she's walking around licking cell phones.
Yep, exactly.
No, but Papa G does, and she's got all of his genes.
See? From his side of the family.
It's all your side of the family. My side's smart.
What do you think of this malaria drug from the 50s? They're combining with an antibiotic, and they've had, you know, a small test group, but incredible results in 6 days. Everyone got over the coronavirus.
Nice.
That could be great, right?
So I think it's great. There are actually two drugs. One is for Ebola and one is for malaria. They're antiviral medications. Now, they don't come without, you know, side effects. There can be really serious side effects, but they're not fatal side effects that come with those diseases unless you've got pre-existing conditions or an unhealthy immune system. I think it's phenomenal. I actually, if you really want to know the truth, called my doctor last night and said, listen, can I get my hands on either one of them?
Okay, of course.
Of course I can't. He actually suggested to me that Tamiflu, which is also an antiviral medication, may have some promising effects as well. But I think that this is remarkable. I think that there should be, in addition to developing a vaccine, and I'm sure they are doing it, more investigation. I did actually hear two people on the news who had been given the anti-malaria antiviral medication and said within a matter of 24 hours they felt like they were back to themselves. So I think there's
pretty
a
amazing
lot of promise for it.
That's great. I love it. And the nice thing about that, it's already gone through the FDA.
Right.
So we can just start mass producing it and getting it
out
there.
Exactly. Crush up and snort.
I want to set the counter now to see how fast Tamiflu will be gone in this part of Connecticut after Mama G said that.
I don't personally have any evidence that it works. It is an antiviral medication. Acyclovir is an antiviral medication there, and I'm certain that hospitals are trying any antiviral medication they can.
Right.
And everyone, you know, I'd like to say to everyone, you know, keep your feet planted on the ground. I'm having difficulty keeping my feet planted on the ground relative to all of this. I don't get the toilet paper issue.
No, I don't either. No one does.
I don't know whether it's a security blanket. I have absolutely no idea what's going on with that, because that's not a typical symptom. Doesn't mean it can't happen. It's just not a typical symptom. So, you know, leave the toilet paper if you've got enough for someone who doesn't have it.
Exactly, yes.
Yeah.
It's
it's not going to save your life.
Right.
No, go for the other.
Right.
It's not going to save your life.
Unless, it'll save your hymen.
I got toilet paper. I'm fine.
It'll save your ass big time.
Live from his house, Scott Haney, Channel 3 Weather. Good morning.
Good morning. The cat is totally freaking out due to the fact that he was listening to that last song. I had it on speaker.
To be honest with you, the lead part sounds like a cat going bananas.
It could be, yes.
Doesn't it sound like that? And he's like, what is happening? First of all, he's wondering why I'm sitting in the house talking to myself the entire morning. He's like, this is the strangest thing ever, but I'm loving having you around.
Yeah, and Dash is like, Daddy, you normally look at me when you're talking.
Daddy's lost it.
Daddy has completely lost it. And the good news is now he's a celebrity in his own right. We're calling him Dash the Weather Producer.
Nice.
I've seen him on camera more than I never saw him before.
The camera looks good on him.
Times today. Yeah, he looks good on TV.
It had 10 pounds, though, I'm just going to say.
Yeah, you know, it does add 10 pounds. Dash, you look like you're 27 pounds.
Exactly. Three cameras are on him.
He's like, let me up here. He's talking. He thinks I'm talking to him, and he's coming over. He's trying to get on my lap again.
Are you talking into the mouthpiece of your phone?
The cat is.
Hang on a second.
This sounds a little better.
He's got cat in his face.
Is this better? Is that better?
A little.
Hello?
Yeah.
Hello? All right. That works.
Dash.
Yes.
Hello? Hello?
Yes, better.
Hello?
Perfect. Thank you.
Okay. Sorry. I got the cat here with me now, and we're just kind of loving life and just relaxing. And I'm doing the weather from home, which I thought I would never be technically able to do.
And this is because you had some signs of a cold, and they're just being precautious.
Yes,
being extra cautious. They're like, you know, go home. And I'm like, okay, thank you.
Great.
Yeah, so I'm just self-quarantining. And, you know, I took the test. I got the test because I was sick. And we're just sitting and waiting for the results now. So I'm not allowed back in the building at work, according to the rules.
Good.
Until the test comes back, nor do I want to be in the building to possibly affect my close friends.
Wait, can I ask a question? You don't have any real signs of coronavirus, but you got a test?
No, I had the signs.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I had high fever, I had sore throat, I had shortness of breath.
Okay.
It was about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago.
I remember. I remember.
And then the cough. Even the cough is still with me this morning. Huh. So the doctor was like, the test just came out. He's like, out of abundance of caution, let's get you tested and see what's going on.
Hey, Phil has a question for you.
Yeah.
Is this the same cat that you ate the vomit off your shoe?
Yes, it's Dasha, my cat.
See? See? There you go.
Dasha cat, the vomit cat. Yes.
That was Mrs. Dash, actually.
Can you tell that story, please?
Okay, so I was eating grape nuts on the air one day, and, you know, in between breaks, and they caught me on camera eating the grape nuts, and Irene looked at me and she said, what are you eating? This was all on air. And I said, grape nuts. So she's like, nobody eats grape nuts. That's the 100-year-old man food.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I love grape nuts. So she's like, okay. So then throughout the entire week, I did the attributes of grape nuts on air. So when I went and did a public appearance to a group of ladies, they presented me with a box of grape nuts. I come back to the studio with the box of grape nuts, and I proceed to eat them and then on air. And then the next day I come in, and there's some grape nuts on the floor. And I'm like, why are there grape nuts on the floor?
Why?
So like, who's been eating my cereal?
Right, that was your first clue right there.
So out of shock value, because, you know, I'm always in shock value, I picked it up off the floor in front of the morning crew and ate it on air, and I put it in my mouth, and it was warm and rubbery.
Right.
And it tasted like rubber.
Grape nut like a lime. Yeah, big time, yep.
And I'm like, what is that? I'm like, that is not grape nuts.
It's soggy.
And then I realized there was a trail all the way back to the weather station, and I looked at the bottom of my shoe, and it was caked on vomit. I stepped in it on my way out the door in the morning. And it was falling off as it was drying, and that's what I ate on television.
Didn't that go national?
And,
yeah.
It went worldwide.
Worldwide.
In Tokyo, laughing.
Yeah.
Cat vomit. Dash, Scott Haney.
I was like, oh, my God. I made Anderson Cooper. I made Robin Roberts' Year in Review. I made like a bunch of different things, all for eating cat puke. See? So Dash is a famous cat.
All right. In retrospect, it's amazing we didn't have a new virus born out of that moment.
You know?
No, but think about it. The coronavirus tries to get into Sky Haney. He says, ugh,
right.
Nothing can get in here.
And that's precaution.
Exactly.
That's not a sausage in that box, so don't eat it.
Exactly. So, but I did end up eating cat vomit. And everybody's like, you did that as a stunt. And I'm like, who would eat cat vomit?
Right.
Exactly.
Ever.
Right.
Oh.
You know what it is? Other folks in the media see that and they're like, oh, I hate that guy.
Son of a... Really?
Exactly.
He's just always getting coverage.
Somehow.
I hate that Scott
Haney!
If you Google it today, you can still see it. And I love the headline on Today. They wrote, meowza.
Hey, John, pull it up and see if we can get the audio, please. John is in for Phil. Phil's at home because Phil was on an airplane.
Right.
Yeah. Ashley's at home because she was on an airplane. We had Andrew filling in Monday, Tuesday, and then and Wednesday. Then he discovered that someone in his building might get tested for this, and we're just being cautious. We don't want it in the building.
Right?
So now he's on the bench.
If you fly in an airplane, was it domestic or international?
Domestic.
I went to San Francisco, yeah.
So kind of both.
Well, that is a different world.
You have it, John? All right, here it is.
It is evident that you're going downhill fast. Look at this.
It's also... You leave grape nuts all over here.
What is happening?
Come on.
It's everywhere.
Clean up.
There. So he found it underneath the desk.
I can't believe you just ate it.
You can't?
I believe it.
They're a little foggy.
It is elephant that you are crazy.
They taste like shoes.
I smell feet.
I smell feet.
And here's the look of realization.
You are crazy. You just ate that right off the floor.
Oh, I don't think those
are great. Oh, boy.
I don't think those are great.
That is beyond the 3-second rule. Way beyond.
I think that might be dog duty.
Alessa, can you please?
I'm waiting for the mask.
Stop.
Who said dog
who
duty?
Who said, I think it might be dog duty? Was that
me.
You?
Yeah.
Well, you were close.
I was close. It was cat bomb.
You were close.
Hey.
Go ahead. That is funny. I can't believe it.
Thank you.
This is what's trending now. Ladies and gentlemen.
All right, we're good.
Those were.
Okay. Wow.
See? Unbelievable.
Yep.
I can't believe you guys got that so quickly. Good for you.
Yeah.
Like the masters over that. So if you fly on a domestic flight, and you get off. You have to self quarantine.
No, you don't have to.
Oh. No,
I was.
But you're
asked
doing
to.
It out of.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We want everyone to be safe.
We need a break from Phil.
This is. We need to. We. Well, we weren't going to say it on the air, but we needed a break from Phil.
That's where it says that italicized letters over here. Sorry about that.
We get to pick and choose who we want in this building now, so why not do it?
Just select.
Absolutely.
Chop, chop.
Sounds like the show promo.
Yeah.
That is so funny. Oh, poor Phil. And is Ashley with you? Is she on the air?
She
flew
also
too.
She flew to Florida, and so she's home.
But she's not on air?
We have her on the phone. So Phil has one of those boxes, right?
Okay,
And we only have so many. We have 6 stations in this building. We only have so many boxes. They're already kind of set up just in case the government says, okay, no one can go out. So we can only send out one box. So Phil's box is my box, right? So if things all hit the fan, that box goes to my house.
Right,
got it.
Got it.
I've been wiping it down before and after each day. But
great.
With your tongue, though, man.
Right.
What are you doing?
I'm not Ashley.
Rain today, then nice weekend, or?
Rain today. The threat for strong storms this afternoon through this evening, some of which could be locally heavy. Downpours, lightning and thunder. There's even the talk of the T word. Maybe it's a little rotation in some of these storms, especially in northwest and southwest Connecticut. That's late this afternoon through early this evening. That'll move out, and then the weekend is bright and sunny, but it's going to be considerably cooler.
What's the T word?
Only
tacos?
In the middle upper 40s.
Tornado.
Tornado or thunder?
Tornado.
The possibility, a very small possibility of rotation in some of these storms, which could lead to a tornado. That's later this afternoon through this evening. So just keep your eyes to the skies if they look threatening. I know most people are already indoors, but keep it tuned to your media outlets, and we'll certainly keep you posted if there are strong, severe storms in the state. Just what we need, right, on top of everything else.
And when are you getting your test results?
Monday, hopefully Monday or Tuesday.
Oh, are you going to do a reveal on the show?
That'd be cool.
When you see me back in the studio, that means I tested negative.
That's your reveal right there. Okay.
All right, and if we don't see you back on Wednesday, then we know. That's the reveal.
Well, you will certainly know.
All right, perfect. All right, take care, Scott. Thank you, brother.
All right, you guys stay healthy.
You too.
An additional 63 Connecticut residents have tested positive for coronavirus, bringing the statewide total to 159. We're up to 3 deaths now. Governor signed a new executive order. It postpones Connecticut presidential primary from April 28th to June 2nd. It permits certain restaurants and other eating establishments to sell alcohol with takeout food orders.
Right.
It suspends non-critical court operations. Directs the temporary closure of barbershops, hair salons, tattoo and piercing parlors. This is going to go into effect tonight at 8.
So hurry up, get a haircut, get a tattoo.
And we have our first state rep that has tested positive for coronavirus, or at least has gone public with it. Jane Garibay, she represents Windsor and Windsor Lock, so we're all rooting for her to get better quickly.
Yes.
City of Meriden has its first residential confirmed coronavirus case. 4 Hartford police officers tested positive for coronavirus 19. You know, I think that we're all going to get it.
You think?
Right? I think if we just say, look, we're all going to get it.
Right.
So be ready.
Well, they say to act like you have it so you're more cleaner for others.
Right. Act like you have it.
Exactly. Right.
Let's talk to Bob Phelan. He's an employment lawyer with Mitchell and Sheehan. And he's on the show now. Talk to us about what folks are going through and what rights they have in the workplace.
Good morning, Chaz. It's Gary Phelan, but let's talk about the most important thing, which is happening more often, is people are being terminated. As soon as possible, it's important to file for unemployment benefits. You know, the number of people filing for unemployment is skyrocketing in Connecticut, but still important to do it as soon as possible. If you go to the Connecticut Department of Labor website, there's a FAQ, you know, frequently asked questions for both employers and employees, that if you just go on the website, it's the first thing you see, that has a lot of information. But you file with the, www.filectui.com. The two most important things in filing for unemployment. First, if you ask your employer for a separation package, if they can't get it to you, if your workplace is already closed, important to you can download it and file. The two most important things you need from your employer is their registration number, as well as if the hope is that this is temporary, a anticipated return to work date.
Okay. Can your employer ask you if you have any symptoms?
Absolutely. You know, they can't necessarily say, do you have the virus? But if you're at work, you know, you're exhibiting any of the symptoms, coughing, sneezing, you know, shortness of breath, they can ask you if you have that. That may, you know, lead to a discussion where they say, instruct you to stay home.
Can they take your temperature?
Yes, that was sort of not clear, but last Friday, the EEOC said that taking an employee's temperature is permitted.
Gotcha. Can they ask if anyone in the family is sick or suffering from symptoms of coronavirus?
No, that would be a violation of the Genetic Information Non-Discrimination Act.
If you test positive for coronavirus, can your employer tell everybody in the office?
No. It's confidential information. Certainly, employer can take steps to try to find out or to let, you know, people know that someone has tested positive, but they, you know, they can't send around an email to all, just want to let you know, Joe Smith's got the virus. Can't do that.
Right. Gotcha. Anything else we need to know? What about the shared work program?
Shared work program is something that's discussed on the Department of Labor website. An employer, you know, certainly employers are under siege right now. And they can go on to this shared work program. You can cut your not, it's an, sort of an alternative to terminating everyone. You can reduce the hours of up to 60% of your employee hours and pay them for the time they are there. And then get unemployment for the balance of the time. I think it's a really good alternative, and if it's a way to try to keep people in the workplace and not have to just lay people off completely.
Right.
All right, and then one more. If your kid, all the schools are closed, so if you have kids and your employer is still open, do you have to go in or can you work from home?
Well, you know, you can work from home if your employer – your employer lets you, but there's no legal right to necessarily working from home. Under the Families First Coronavirus Response Act, if you work for an employer with less than 500 employees, you can get paid family leave. There's certain restrictions, but you know, 2/3 of your salary up to $200 a day. But there's no legal right to stay at home because your child is home from school.
Gotcha. We'll put this segment up on WPLR.com and 959thefox.com, as well as your website, MitchellandSheehan.com. Attorney Gary Phelan, thanks for coming on, brother. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Chad.
All right. It's Gary, not Bob.
No, see what
thinking of Bob Mitchell.
We're just, you know, testing him.
Right.
And he passed.
Just testing.
Yeah, that's part of the coronavirus
test. Do you
know
your name?
Exactly. It's part of the coronavirus test.
Question one. If you don't get that right. Everything else you say doesn't carry any weight.
I know I'm going to be good.
Very suspect.
I fail every test I ever take, so I'm good.
Fish Nipples, Plainville.
Hey, Dan.
Hi.
Good morning again.
Good morning.
He sounds like he's in a mask.
Doesn't he? Yeah. N95.
Well, both me and my wife are very susceptible. She has COPD, and I don't have a pituitary gland.
Wow.
So we have to be extremely careful.
What do you do for a living?
I work for a supply company, rubber O-rings and Teflon O-rings.
Okay.
Yeah, that's,
do you have to come in contact with a lot of people?
No. No, I work in my own office.
Perfect.
And a little report, my wife found toilet paper at Wally World yesterday.
Really?
For 97 cents for a 4-pack, and they're only letting people buy 1 pack at a time.
Wow.
That's a great price.
That's an awesome price.
I'm almost crapping. 97 cents for 4 rolls?
I almost crapping. I heard it.
Yep.
That has to be government paper.
It's better than using your bare hands.
It has to be that.
The one ply.
That's true. All right. Thank you, Fish Nipples.
Great. Great one there.
That has to be that paper you find in the bathrooms at the state parks.
Exactly. Yes. The one ply. Just more smearing than absorbing.
Well, you go to pull it and it just rips.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like 97 clumps just
97
like,
cents yep. for 4 rolls.
Wow.
Let's just round it out to 25 cents
right.
per roll.
Nice.
Right. So how many cents is that per poop?
Per poop? It's hard to say what kind of poop you had.
Yeah.
You know, there's heavy days, light days.
That's true.
And you know, those days was like, there's nothing here at all.
Right. The ghost poop.
Exactly. Right. How it just like. Never mind. Gotta get some gross.
Thank you for editing yourself. I appreciate that.
Folks are eating breakfast
Paul
right now.
Paul in Uncasville.
Hi.
Hey.
I apologize. This may have been mentioned before. I haven't been listening consistently because I haven't been going to work.
People are in and out of the cars. So, yeah, what do you got?
Yeah. Well, before this all happened, I installed a bidet seat.
Nice.
And it cuts your toilet paper usage by over 70%.
And it's fun for the kids.
70%?
That's not a water fountain?
Yep. And you get them on Amazon. It was $60. You have to hook the hot water up to your vanity, or you can run just the cold water.
No, you can't just run the cold water.
The water's way too warm, by the way. Tasting. Ugh.
But I love it. I'm just glad I did it.
Do your eyes cross when you use it?
Oh, we both use it, and it has two nozzles, one for the ladies' front and one for the back.
Is it like a high pressure? Like a,
really?
Like a, is it like a high pressure
it's
water?
High
like a,
pressure,
like,
yep.
Like a, like
yep.
the thing at the car wash?
Yep. It works fabulous. The only thing, you got to run the hot water in the sink, just like you do for a dishwasher.
Is there hot wax, too?
Hot water. No wax stuff.
Is it the tire shine?
Money.
I want a shiny hide.
Some are electrical. They have their own heater, and some have dryer.
Wow.
But you're talking $400 or $600. Oof. Mine was $60 on Amazon. Took me no time at all. 30 minutes to hook it up.
Yeah. I have a feeling that you can't buy them now. John, can you look that up, please?
A bidet? Their sales were up 25%.
There are some businesses doing very well in this crisis.
Yep. And I think it's great because even after this, it saves you money. That's why I did it. I was tired of buying a lot of toilet paper.
Hold on 1 second.
Bidet.
Hold on, all right?
Bidet to you.
I'm looking them up on Amazon. I'm assuming that they're completely sold out, though.
The first time I seen one of those, I got shot in the face.
Well, it's not a fountain.
No, I know.
All right. Thank you, Paul. This is great.
Didn't know what it was.
This is great. Go ahead.
They're all being listed as bestsellers.
I think the whole toilet paper thing is way overblown, and probably none of us are old enough to remember, because I was a little kid, and I'm 62, is Johnny Carson made a joke on the Late Show about a toilet paper shortage, and
right.
created one.
Try to wipe us out.
And it's the same thing here. I think people are just being ridiculous with it. I don't think grocery stores are going to close. That's not going to happen.
Nah.
We got to try to stay positive. And, you know, the other thing I want to mention, I was out driving around because I had to go to my tax man because that never takes a holiday. And the businesses that are restaurants, you know, if you can afford it, try to give them some business, you know. The ones that are struggling, they've got outside pickup that normally don't.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I feel bad for them, you know.
2 days in a row, Jennifer and I got takeout and left tips. And, you just got to do it.
Yep.
You try to do it once a day if you can.
Trying to help.
If you're blessed
you can
and
have
not.
It delivered, you can have it delivered, but
right.
I was actually just watching this on TV. They say leave the money outside or use your credit card and have them just drop it.
Right. And then you got to clean up, you know.
Do.
Yeah. All right. Thank you. Good call.
You're welcome. Yep. Bye-bye.
Let me go over here. Jennifer.
Hey, good morning.
Have you used our bidet?
No, because we have toilet paper.
Right. No. So you've never used it? We've been in the house for
six and a half years. No, I've used it.
Do you like it?
I'm not a big fan. It just tickles.
Right. It's a
I'm not going to listen to this part. La, 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 la.
Sorry, AJ.
This is important coronavirus information.
Right.
Well, you know, if we get to that point that we don't have any teepee, then, you know. But I did, you know what I did do, though, when we went shopping the other day, I bought these really, really cheap napkins that are, like, wicked thin.
Oh, Vanity
so
Fair?
If we run out of toilet paper, I can use the napkins.
Can't flush those. Right. No.
No. Then I'll just make a special bag, I guess.
Right. And throw in the neighbor's lawn.
Right. Right. We like our neighbors.
Oh, okay, then.
Right.
Our Somebody neighbors are really nice.
Yeah.
Why is it in the back of my pickup truck?
Yeah, but you see, our I would have never had one. Like, look, I love the house. I don't need a... I'm not a bidet person.
You got right? one. It's fancy. Go for it.
Never used it.
I have a garden hose outside.
I've turned it on. Right? But it's, so it's cold water. And right. So you got to wait a long time for it to warm up.
You know what probably works? You have like one of those shower heads that comes off and it has like a pulsating like thing on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Your eyes might cross, but you're good. Make sure the water's warm.
We have the little wipies, too.
Wipies?
You know, the little moistened, pre-moistened wipes.
Like you can't flush wipes. Those either.
Well, I think
no, we cannot flush those. Well, but, you know, for the tougher days, they are helpful. We always right. have a little flush.
Like those lemon scented things at Hooters?
On the show right now is the first selectman of Westport. Good morning.
Good morning, you guys. Boy, I didn't think I'd be celebrating the first full day of spring this way.
Seriously.
I sure hope I'm not the loser or the winner in either one on this one.
I think you're the winner of the week for coming on.
You're a good
guy. I appreciate it.
Well, I hope you guys are maintaining proper social distance there in the studio.
We are. We're all in separate studios. In fact,
oh
Phil's about an hour away.
Yep, see? How's that?
Well done. Well done.
Yeah. Your town got hit pretty hard, right? You had 20 positive tests after like 32 people were tested. It's a high number.
Yeah. Well, let me update you on that. Actually, as of last evening, we have 42 Westport residents who've tested positive for the COVID-19.
And how many people have been tested?
Well, that I don't know that exact number, but I will say it's probably in the range of 200, 300 people. We tested 70 people on Wednesday, a drive, one of those in-the-car testing arrangements. We have not gotten the tests back or the results back from those tests. So I expect that number I gave you, 42, to continue to grow. The reality is we are in containment mode here in Westport and trying to encourage all of our residents to stay isolated, stay home, not to congregate any sort of gatherings. And for the most part, I'm proud of our residents. They're doing that. Last weekend, because it was such a nice weekend, we got a little crowded at the beach, and we put in some measures to help thin that out a little bit. I can only keep encouraging our residents to, get out and get fresh air by all means, but try not to gather in more than two or three people, and even there, keep your that effective social distance.
Yeah, Jim, were you shocked when I think it was 31 tested and then 20 were positive? That number is horrifying when you first hear it, right?
Well, it is. It's very frightening, and it was a wake up call for us. Now we've been planning our response to this for over a month. We started organizing our incident response team, our emergency response team, and put on a forum for people that was streamed and as well from our library.
And why do you think you had it seems to be leveling off now, but that first number was shocking. Why do you think it was that high?
It turns out there was a party here in Westport where apparently someone who had been exposed to the virus and actually contracted it was present with a lot of people. We don't know the exact number. In some ways, it's not important anymore because it's
right.
almost 2 weeks ago. And our presumption is that most of Westport has in some way been exposed to the virus. And so everybody needs to be practicing all the things that have almost become cliches, the wash the hands, the cough into your sleeve,
the practice distancing, and do the best to keep isolated. But that said, we also recognize that you got to get outside once in a while just to breathe fresh air.
Right.
We've basically stopped all gatherings of any significance. Monday, I signed an order I never imagined I'd ever would sign, which is, you know, basically closing the restaurants except for either the delivery or pickup.
So that's a state thing now.
It was kind of at the same time, but frankly, we realized we had to get ahead of that.
Right.
And so we did that.
What's it like being the first selectman of Westport? You must have some very powerful people calling you saying, hey, man, can't do that.
You know, hey, man.
Right? Like, you have very powerful people living there. Right. Hey, man. What are you doing over there, Jim? Now I got a business over here.
Well, I'm blessed to live in a community that has some very special and talented people and intelligent, smart, well-educated, and for the most part, very supportive. I get the occasional message of "You got to be kidding me!" It's interesting. Yesterday, almost back to back, I had one message saying "Shut it all down," whatever that means, and the other one saying, oh, only worry about the people who are over 60. The rest of us should be able to go out and play.
Wow. So a millennial called, huh?
You know, good luck with messaging.
We think you've been doing a great job there.
Yeah.
And we're limited on time, and I know you are. Yeah. So I really appreciate you coming on. Is there anything else you want to, like a final thought you want to leave us with?
Well, I just, I look at this as we're on chapter 3 of a 30-chapter book here. This is not something that's going to end soon. I don't know when we will know when it's, you know, safe to go back in the water, so to speak. I know one of your guests was saying, gee, this feels like a snow day, but pretty soon people are going to get out of that mode, and I think it'll be even more challenging than ever.
Right.
That people stay self-isolated. So I encourage that. I'm hoping this weekend people, again, get outdoors, get fresh air, but please don't gather in groups and congregate. And we'll keep you attuned to everything else. Go to our town website, westportct.gov. There's a COVID-19 site there. That's where you get all the official information you need to get.
Excellent. Thank you, First Selectman Westport, Jim Marpey. Allie Barraza's on the phone now. You're with the Red Cross.
I am, yes. Thanks for having me.
Oh, I appreciate what you folks do. And hey. I heard that there's a blood shortage now.
Yes, there is, in fact, a severe blood shortage. The Red Cross, not just the Red Cross, but really all blood collectors across the country are really calling for people to come out and give right now due to this coronavirus concerns. Right now, Red Cross facing that severe shortage, and that's because of an unprecedented number of blood drive cancellations during the outbreak. So we are asking healthy individuals who are able and eligible to donate to schedule an appointment right now, if they can, to please give within the next few days to help patients counting on life-saving blood as we can get through this pandemic.
Well, people think, oh, it's car accidents or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's if you're a cancer patient.
Operations,
if you're,
too. Yep.
All types.
Absolutely.
Of,
yeah. Yep. Yeah. So, and even we have the support of the Surgeon General right now, who came out and said, listen, we don't want another health crisis on our hands on top of this coronavirus outbreak. And unfortunately, we are seeing a severe shortage that may end up impacting patient care. So like you said, it's not only trauma and car accident victims in the emergency room, but those cancer patients who often rely on blood transfusions to feel better, sickle cell disease patients, those living with sickle cell disease, organ transplant recipients, all of these particular patients may need blood at some point. And what happens when those shelves are empty in the hospital? So we do have supportive hospitals as well to let people know how severe this shortage is. If I can give you a little more context right now, as of this morning, just for the Red Cross, we're looking at more than 5,000 blood drives canceled across the country, and that's resulting in some 170,000 fewer blood donations that have not been able to be collected.
That does sound like borderline crisis.
Yeah.
It is. It's an alarming rate, and it is continuing to grow. So what
people
we're
are afraid to go
morning,
out, and people are afraid they might get sick getting the giving the blood.
Yes.
Sure. And we understand that. You know, we want people to adhere to their guidelines. We understand why people might be hesitant to come out to give blood for a drive and come out to a drive. But we really want to reassure everyone listening here, all the public, that we have implemented, on top of the regular safety precautions that we take each and every day, we have additional precautions to ensure the safety of our donors and our staff as well. And that includes taking your temperature before getting into the drive area. That includes staff. That includes donors. Anyone coming into that drive area will have their temperature checked ahead of time. We do have hand sanitizer available ahead of the drive before you enter the drive area, as well as throughout the donation process. And we're actually spacing beds where possible so we can make sure we adhere to those social distancing practices as well.
You know what? So, we have to go. I'm going to link it up on WPLR.com and 959thefox.com. But also, we can maybe schedule a blood drive.
Yes.
Yeah, see?
All right.
Yes, redcrossblood.org for any and all questions, to make an appointment, or for more about hosting a drive. We certainly appreciate the support.
Allie, thank you. We're linked up, and we'll be in touch soon. 159 cases and 3 deaths due to coronavirus in Connecticut, and we're only getting started here.
Yes.
I want to talk about the good news here. But I don't want people to feel like, okay, it's over.
Yeah, crisis is over.
But there was some great news yesterday, and I want to bring on Chris, the pharmacist at Nutmeg Pharmacy in Centerbrook. There was a report yesterday that an old malaria drug mixed with an antibiotic tested in small groups had very promising results. Chris, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, what do you think?
I think it's very promising. I think it's kind of what we needed in all this hysteria. We needed a little bit of a silver lining. So it's very good that they it's actually a drug that had worked on a previous disease, the SARS, originally back probably almost 10 years now. So they had good evidence that it was, you know, going to be effective. And, you know, the thing that I found interesting is that it worked even better in combination with what a lot of us are familiar with, a Z-Pak. And so, you know, it's very good to hear that news. And, you know, finding the right dosage for it right now might be a little bit in kind of up in the air. But from what they did in the studies, you know, that by day 6, everyone was almost clear with the 2-drug combination.
Wow. How fast can this stuff be made?
That's a good question. You know, I don't know. I know we did a little bit of research and saw some of the news coming out about it. And so our pharmacies in a couple places in Connecticut are very well stocked on it. So we are prepared for what could inevitably be the go-to thing to help treat everyone and possibly even preventative. I know, you know, a lot of people are healthy, but the people who are at risk, you know, you're coming into contact with them. And although you may, you know, even if you were to get the virus, may be able to handle it, it's the, you know, older populations and the sick populations that you may be coming into contact with that, you know, we need to be also thinking of, not just ourselves.
So you guys have a lot just at your place, and then we probably have stockpiles of this around, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's not an uncommon drug. You know, it's still to this day used routinely for rheumatoid arthritis and things. So it's not, you know, it's not anything that hasn't been around for a while. But we made sure to really, really overstock on it just to make sure we have what, you know, our folks will need. And, you know, I'm in Centerbrook. We have stores in Taftville, down in the Norwich area, Hagenham in Middlesex County area. And we just opened up a new store in Moutis.
Oh, great.
Moutis.
you know, based on what I've seen happen to toilet paper, you better get some security around your.
Seriously,
if you have toilet need paper to store too. That stuff in a safe.
And if you have toilet paper,
in a
me
bunker
up.
Somewhere.
Damn straight, man.
Yeah, I made sure. I actually went out last weekend and got some security.
There you go.
Very good.
He bought a dog.
As a pharmacist, yeah. Do you still make drugs in the pharmacy, or is all this stuff just on a shelf somewhere?
No, it's all the drug manufacturers. Right. You know. Across seas and some in the U.S.
I mean, back in the old days, they have that little bowl with the...
Remember that? Yeah, the pestle. Yeah.
If I knew how to make it, yeah. I'd be making it myself.
Yeah. Were you grinding garlic in there? Yeah. What's going on there?
Have you had people call you? And like friends say, hey, Chris, can you slip me some malaria drugs?
Believe it or not, I had a doctor phone in 2 prescriptions yesterday, and then right before I left last night, I saw another one come in.
And here we go.
Into the computer, so there it
begins. Yep.
Here we go.
Yep.
All right. Well, we thank you for what you do, and I appreciate the information, Chris.
It's a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
All right, man.
Be safe, man.
Yeah, here's another one.
Yep.
You ever go into a pharmacy and wait in line for meds?
Yeah.
You look around, like, who you're waiting behind, you're like, all these people are sick. I can't hold my breath that long.
I had the flu a couple of months ago, and I just remember standing next to a big, long line of people shivering. I'd just come from a walk-in clinic, and I must have been the people in that line's worst nightmare, because I was clearly in rough shape.
I always have an old man reading a newspaper.
Really?
Yep.
Where did he find the newspaper?
I have no idea.
Where is it?
The old people supply company. I have no idea.
Old people supply
old
company.
Old people depot. I don't know.
Right.
I don't know if it was from this year. I have no idea. Oh, look.
Hey, did you read this paper? Kennedy was shot.
Oh, my God. What happened to all the dinosaurs? One more cheer.
Yeah, I think that would be a tough job.
Yes.
Working in the pharmacy.
Definitely.
And then you get that person that takes a half an hour to get from the front of the store. Why do they put
the
pharmacy in the back? Why? Let me pick up some of this and pick up some of that.
On the way back from getting your stuff, yeah.
Right. Or to see if you can make it. If you don't make it to the pharmacy counter, you didn't need it. You died.
Right.
Yep.
Process of elimination.
You notice they have stretchers halfway through? All the wheelchairs are halfway through. That's the
what pharmacy do you go to?
No,
never seen that before at all.
If you go down this one aisle where they have like the home care stuff, they have like crutches and stuff like that. Yeah.
All right.
Trust me on this one. Just run with it, please.
Trust you on it.
It's funny.
Why don't you read your newspaper?
Why don't you shut up? Why don't you go lick a public doorknob?
Things are starting to feel like they're back to normal here. Good.
Why don't you go lick an airplane seat? Try and do comedy over here. I'm sorry, is that comedy? Hey, fire extinguisher. Put it out.
Yeah, but for comedy, there has to be some sense of reality in the joke. There's no stretcher in the middle of a pharmacy.
You just got to run with it.
Okay.
Just got to run with it. All right.
Well, not on a stretcher.
Would a trap door have worked instead?
You got to roll with it when you're on a wheelchair.
Exactly. Yeah.
Don't you have producer boy things to do? Shut up.
Oh, it took you 2 days to yell at John.
I get that's a new record.
I feel good.
Thank you.
Boy, I read that story yesterday, and I thought, man, this is great. You know, if they can find something to stomp this out quickly.
Yeah. Says here, a Flintstones chewable will do it.
But if you ever wondered why they'll never, they being the government, tell us that there are aliens and life on other planets, look what happens when... there's a virus.
Exactly.
Okay?
Yep.
And this is horrible, but let's do the numbers, you know?
We have this whole Earth right now is a Netflix special for aliens from other countries, other worlds, rather.
What do you mean?
Yeah. Right now they're watching us in their little spaceships going, can you believe this crap?
This is a reality show.
Look at these idiots over here with the toilet paper.
Yeah.
Exactly.
This is what they're going for.
Yeah. I can't believe it's going on us.
Look at that guy. He just flushed the paper towels.
Exactly, right.
Right.
Oh, that's not going to be over a septic tank.
And, you know, I'm one of those people, you look at my cart in the shopping store, the supermarket now, my shopping cart, and you see, wow, this guy, what's he stocking up on?
Right.
Like, Doritos and beer. Ridiculous. Yeah, exactly.
Survival mode.
Hey, man, you have Doritos and beer.
I got a text from Frank, who's in Vermont.
Oh.
Toilet paper's going crazy there.
Wow.
And 10,000 bullets sold last week.
Nice. To him or?
Who are you going to shoot? Are you shooting people or food?
It's the same thing with Ebola. Like, we all go immediately to zombies every time there's an outbreak of any kind.
Right, we do.
Right.
Yep.
We've watched too many television shows.
We have.
And I was watching the news last night, and I thought, where's the, you know, you got to be there for a while to hear a little bit of positive, and they stick it in between lots of negative.
Yes.
It serves them.
It does.
This is good news here. And right. I love this story.
Yep.
Scott Grove, Vice President of Human Resources with Bezudos, is on. You know Bezudos.
Yes, I do very well.
We've been there many times. They do a lot of great events for the community there, but they're looking for people to hire.
Whoa, look at this, huh? Job,
Scott,
employment.
What's going on?
Good morning. Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
You're always welcome here.
Yes, sir.
As long as I bring my newspaper.
That's right.
If you want to. Come on, you sound too young for that.
What's going on? So you're a warehouse that supplies the supermarkets, right?
Yeah, so we're a wholesale grocery distributor here in Cheshire, and we have a facility in North Haven. And we supply independent and family-owned retailers from Maine to Maryland out to Ohio with basically everything you'd imagine in a grocery store.
Toilet paper.
Definitely toilet paper.
Oh, can you hook me up?
Your staff's well taken care of with that then. Good.
Exactly right.
It's a benefit.
Yep.
There are some member benefits, yes.
Yes.
There's a bonus roll, yes.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing you're very busy right now.
We are. So we're operating with unprecedented demand right now and have been for probably a few weeks. We run 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You know, we are doing everything we can to continue the supply chain going out to our grocery retailers, and we need help. You know, we're looking to the communities we serve to help us with labor. You know, our teams are working an inordinate amount of hours, proudly, really proudly, to do what they need to do to get this out. And we have full-time opportunities, part-time. In our warehouse, we need drivers. If you have a CDLA, diesel technicians, you know, we maintain our own equipment. And then even all the other functions, you know, IT, HR, accounting, things like that.
Wow.
We do a lot of services for our retail customers. We handle their payroll. We do their accounting. We provide HR consulting services. So we do a lot for our customers. Coming into this, we've been experiencing a lot of growth, and it's going to continue. And if you need a job just for a couple months because your restaurant closed down, you know, let us help you out.
This is fantastic. So let me just, I'm a waiter. I'm out of work. I never really did anything else. I don't know what skills I can do. Should I call anyway? And then you guys can ask me if I could do any of this stuff.
Yeah. Well, what we're doing is we're trying to funnel everything through our website, careers.bezudos.com. And we do have actual openings up there for full-time and part-time warehouse selectors, if you want to do that.
Sounds like if I'm a waiter, I can do that.
I got
janitorial.
Yep.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's all using power equipment. It is, it's a lot more complicated than you'd think to build a pallet correctly to travel, you know, 9.5 hours up to upstate New York for a delivery. We do the training. You know, we did put up a spot for people. So we called it general help wanted because, you know, we don't know what skills are out there even. So if you've got something that you think you could bring to the table right now that helps us and helps the cause that we're grinding towards, let us know.
We are
working feverishly to call everybody who's reaching out to us and try and find a way to help them and help us at the same time.
Okay, and nice. How many people are you looking to hire? And this is all temporary, right?
No, we are, you know, we can offer that temporary if you need, but we are looking for regular full-time, regular part-time.
Nice.
Like I said, we came, you know, into this growing, and we continue to grow and see, a long-term growth path for the organization that we're looking to hire and find great people for the long haul.
This is fantastic.
Beautiful.
Yeah, this is our 75th anniversary, and we have tremendously proud associates and who are you know, they recognize what's going on right now. They recognize the moment in time that they're participating in something historical that is on the front lines. You know, getting toilet paper out to these stores is a real thing that needs to happen.
We're talking to Scott Grove, Vice President of Human Resources, Bezutos in Cheshire and North Haven. They're looking to hire lots of people, and you can go to careers.bezutos.com. We're linked up at WPLR.com and 959thefox.com. Noah in New Haven has a question. He's wondering if you hire felons.
Well, you know, we do have a we go through a process of background check and things like that, and we will hire we will take every case on, and we look at each one individually on a case.
Here, let me see
case.
If I could do some work for you here.
Okay.
Oh, did he leave?
He's building an ark.
Do you know what he did, John? Did you ask him? Did he murder someone?
You know, I didn't.
Oh, okay.
He probably stood in line at the pharmacy with the flu.
He killed a roll of toilet paper.
Right.
That was, yeah, right. That was my crime.
See, now, if you killed your last employer, maybe doesn't look good.
You want to work for yourself.
So but I wouldn't be able to get hired.
Sometimes things happen, you know, can't hold that against you. But
right.
Yeah.
Was it an accident, maybe?
Careers.bezutos.com. And let us know how you make out.
Yeah.
We'll have you on as many times as it takes to get you staffed.
Fill you up.
We appreciate it. And you know, we appreciate what you guys are doing. And, you know, it's an unprecedented time and moment in history that, you know, we need to keep these things going. If I could, the only other message I'd like to get out is, you know, grocery stores are normally – their shelves are normally filled and they get deliveries for about a week's worth of goods. And because of, you know, everybody going out and being home and needing things, they're now working from delivery to delivery. And we are working crazy to get them the deliveries. I tell people you don't have to hoard the toilet paper and the Lysol wipes and the chicken.
Thank you. That
we are working to get deliveries to our stores. Take what you need for a period of time. I recognize that you might not be able to go the next day, but we need to be mindful as community partners to each other that there's somebody else coming behind you who needs a portion of that. So
don't
instead of 12 rolls, take six and let somebody else get the six.
That's a great point.
Exactly.
And that'll help us all get through it.
Right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, this is one of those good stories. It's a great story, and we want to do more of those. Where this is a bright spot.
Yes, please.
So if you're a waiter, a waitress, or someone who's out of work because of this, you could do this temporary, or you could, by the way,
long haul.
Great company to work for.
Exactly, yes.
They really take great care of their employees.
Very good care.
So, Scott, thanks for coming out. We're linked up at WPLR.com and 959thefox.com. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much, guys, and all my best to all you and all of your listeners.
Right back
Thank
at you.
You.
Scott Grove, Vice President of Human Resources at Bezutos. That sounds like a great job right there.
It does.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.
I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.